Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming to Positively Camp. I first want to just say thank you to everyone who came to listen. I know that we all have really busy lives, so it means a lot to me that you guys take some time out of your life to listen to the things I have to share. So whether you're from Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're from, thank you so much for being here. This podcast is going to continue the digestive system series that I had going on with you guys. Last week, we talked about tracking your food intake and your habits and the things that you're doing during those times so that you can have a good idea with what you're doing. But we're going to save that for next week. But today, we're going to talk about stomach acid because it's an incredibly important component to the digestive system. So we're going to first talk about the role of stomach acid in the digestive system. So stomach acid is also called hydrochloric acid, or HCl, and it plays a variety of roles in your body, and these include breaking down protein to digesting vitamins and minerals, and also it activates the enzyme pepsin. Without the enzyme pepsin, your body wouldn't be able to break down proteins into smaller components called amino acid, which are used to build new proteins. So when we get into the discussion about the difference between animal and plant proteins, the main focus is going to be on these amino acids. So just keep that in mind because that's going to be something that's really important later. So your body needs these proteins for practically everything that it does, from hormonal signaling to immune function to nutrient transport. So stomach acid is pretty important in the digestion of proteins, basically. It also plays a crucial role in your immune system. Because it's so acidic, stomach acid kills any harmful bacteria, parasites, or fungi that you may ingest with contaminated food. Without adequate amounts of stomach acid, you wouldn't be able to absorb vitamin B12, which is essential in proper functioning of the brain and nervous system. So inadequate stomach acid is a common cause of vitamin B12 deficiency, especially in older adults. The Institute of Medicine estimates that 10 to 30% of adults over the age of 50 have difficulty absorbing the vitamin B12 in food due to decreased production of stomach acid. So signs of vitamin B12 deficiency include weakness, fatigue, lightheadedness, rapid heartbeat, pale skin, sore tongue, upset stomach, weight loss, diarrhea, constipation, and easy bruising and bleeding. So I've been a caregiver for about 4 years, and many of these are super, super common in elderly people. And the more I think, like study nutrition, the more I've realized is this is definitely mostly caused by deficiency in vitamin B12. So it's not really so much about malnutrition or, you know, just not eating healthy enough foods. If your body doesn't have the right mechanisms to break down the healthy foods in general, you're not going to get anything from it anyways. So this the focus really should actually be on stomach acid production. Moving on, stomach acid also plays other critical roles in the digestive process. It initiates peristalsis, which is the rhythmic contraction that will move partially digested food from the stomach to the small intestine. So that's just what the process is called, and signals the pancreas to produce and release the digestive enzymes needed to finish breaking down food. The pH of your stomach falls around 2, or very acidic on the other end, like it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 2 being the most acidic and 10 being the most alkaline. The stomach protects itself from the low pH of the stomach acid by secreting an alkaline bicarbonate-based solution, which is basically baking soda in chemistry world. The bicarbonate neutralizes the stomach acid so it doesn't eat away its own lining. So our body is built in with a lot of protective mechanisms. So if you've been wondering this whole time how it's possible to have hydrochloric acid in your stomach, this is why. The smooth muscle has a mucous membrane on it, and like I said, it just releases the alkaline solution and prevents the acid from damaging the lining of your stomach. But if you're like me and you've developed stomach ulcers over the years because you haven't been eating properly for a period of time, then it also can erode at that mucosal layer, and that is how those ulcers are caused. Okay, so with all this talk about the stomach acid, you're probably wondering what happens when that stomach acid becomes imbalanced. So first we're going to talk about the overproduction of stomach acid versus the underproduction. So your digestive system gets some help in breaking down food from the food itself. So most foods contain enzymes that start to digest the food before your own digestive enzymes and stomach acid take over. In a perfect world, everyone would eat whole enzyme-rich foods and chew each bite adequately before swallowing. Doing so ensures that food entering your stomach contains all the enzymes necessary to help pre-digest your food, breaking down a large portion of your food before your stomach acid even gets involved. Unfortunately, the opposite usually happens. Most people eat very quickly and they swallow large amounts of air in the process. Most food is cooked before eating. The cooking process destroys nearly all of the enzymes in the food before it even enters your mouth. So if you're cooking processed food, the news is even worse. Like, cooking processing destroys the live enzymes in your food. When you eat enzyme deficient food, the food just sits in your stomach without any pre-digestion taking place. If you've ever felt like there was a lump or brick in your stomach after eating, this is why. So, in attempt to compensate for the lack of enzymes present, your stomach produces an excess amount of stomach acid. So that's when I was talking about how unhealthy eating actually caused the stomach ulcers. This is why. Because there weren't enough enzymes in my body to break down these foods. So they just sat in my stomach. They just sat there. So your pancreas also responds by dumping increasing amounts of enzymes into your small intestine. Instead of solving the problem, this actually leads to other problems like gas, bloating, heartburn, indigestion, and chronic digestive disorders. Over time, the overstimulation of the pancreas can actually lead to decreased function. The pancreas becomes overtaxed and stops producing enough digestive enzymes to make proper digestion possible. So when your symptoms develop, your first instinct may be to reach for an antacid pill or to ask your doctor for a prescription to decrease the stomach acid. But again, this only exacerbates the problem. While an antacid may diminish symptoms in the short term, it does nothing to fix the underlying digestive issues causing the problems in the first place, and may actually lead to low stomach acid, a more common issue. Acid neutralizing medications like an antacid or, you know, like Pepto-Bismol and stuff like that may work in a variety of ways, but they all share one main goal, and it's to reduce or eliminate stomach acid. This seems like a really good thing, especially when you're in the middle of having a really bad heartburn, but these medications do nothing to treat the underlying cause of your digestive issues and can eventually cause your stomach to stop producing enough hydrochloric acid. With that being said, it leads us to the opposite issue when you don't have enough stomach acid. Although many doctors are quick to point the finger at excess stomach acid as the cause of many digestive issues, it's actually low stomach acid or hypochloridia that's the bigger issue. Several problems can cause your body to stop producing adequate amounts of stomach acid. These include vitamin and mineral deficiencies, chronic stress — we all go through stress, but chronic stress is terrible for you — overgrowth of bacteria in the stomach, and overgrowth of yeast in your digestive system, chronic use of antacids, proton pump inhibitors, or H2 receptor antagonists, and advancing age. For example, a 60-year-old generally produces 75% less hydrochloric acid than a 20-year-old. That is insane. So it's definitely true that your diet needs to change with age. Even if it's super healthy, there's certain foods that you may or may not be able to eat that are still considered healthier foods, maybe like tomatoes or jalapenos, because your body becomes more sensitive to them as you get older. Having an inability to produce adequate amount of stomach acid is not just uncomfortable, but it can also lead to serious health consequences. Stomach acid must be present in order for your body to absorb many nutrients, including vitamin B12, folic acid, copper, zinc, calcium, iron, and protein. Stomach acid is also a vital component of your immune system, like I mentioned before. Stomach acid acts as a harsh barrier that kills any potential harmful bacteria or parasites that enter the stomach. So if you don't have enough of this, your stomach acid is you're going to become susceptible to bacteria imbalances. The longer you go without producing adequate amount of stomach acid, the greater your risk of nutritional deficiency and bacterial imbalance becomes. Alright, so what are some signs of low stomach acid? So it can cause a wide range of symptoms, but mostly there are a few that show up in most people. It might seem counterintuitive, but a large indicator of low stomach acid is frequently experiencing acid reflux after eating a meal. The problems associated with low stomach acid can lead to an increase in pressure in your abdomen. If the pressure becomes too great, the lower esophageal sphincter opens when it's not supposed to, allowing this stomach acid to flow backward into your esophagus. When the stomach acid becomes in contact with the inner surface of your esophagus, which doesn't have a protective lining like your stomach, it results in a lot of pain and the burning that you get that's associated with heartburn. Another major indicator that you don't have enough stomach acid is that you're having a lot of gas after a meal. It's actually a sign of low stomach acid production. And if you experience bloating or gas from a couple hours after eating, or if you have a heavy feeling in your stomach where it feels like your food is sitting there stagnant, you may have low stomach acid. Another indicator is feeling bad or heavy after eating a protein-rich meal. If you don't have enough, your body can't use pepsin properly, and as a result, the proteins remain partially undigested, and they sit in your stomach longer than usual. So with all the things that can go wrong with your stomach acid, let's focus on the things that you can do to make your body put your stomach acid back in balance. And one of those ways is with acid supplementation. So when you test for your stomach acid, there is something called a betaine HCL supplement, which is really, really effective in treating low stomach acid. So to find out your dose, you just take one HCL tablet, which is about 650 milligrams, then eat a protein-rich meal, which is about 6 ounces of meat. Or if you're plant-based like me, you'll probably want to eat about, I'd say, like half a block of tofu worth of protein, which is a good amount of protein there for you. Once you finish your meal, pay attention to any signs of digestive distress. If you feel warmth, burning, or a feeling of heaviness after taking just one pill, it's likely that low stomach acid is not your issue and you need to look somewhere else. If you don't experience any of these symptoms, you'll need to do some self-experimentation to find out your dose. You can take 2 pills before each meal for the entire next day. After each meal, pay attention for any warmth, like the feeling you get when you drink a hot beverage. The goal is to find the number of pills that make you feel that warmth and then scale back by one. So if you experience warmth after 2 pills, you know that 1 pill is your correct dose. If you don't feel anything, continue the process, increasing your dosage by 1 pill a day until you feel that warmth. But you should not feel any extreme discomfort when taking hydrochloric acid supplements. If you experience intense burning, stop taking them right away. If you have peptic ulcers or a history of peptic ulcers like me, do not supplement with the betaine hydrochloric acid. Do not take the HCL supplements with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, because doing so can take the damage of the lining of the GI tract and increase the risk of developing a stomach ulcer. Trust me, they're not fun, so if you don't think that you actually have this, don't just try taking a bunch of pills to just fix the problem. So instead, let's focus on treating your digestive issues with your diet. So unless you're following a raw diet, your body may be lacking some of the enzymes needed to break down the food you're eating. Even if there are adequate amounts of enzymes present, many of them are useless unless they're activated by stomach acid. So even if you're eating super, super, super healthy, you're not going to get the benefits that you need from your food unless your digestive system is balanced properly. You can help your digestion by taking some digestive enzymes in addition to the HCL supplements. Some HCL supplements even contain pepsin or a variety of the digestive enzymes in one tablet to make things easier and a little bit more cost effective. When taking digestive enzymes, follow the manufacturer's instructions on the label for the correct amount. Another more natural solution could be using raw apple cider vinegar. It can be a quick fix to stomach acid problems as you work to correct the long-term problem. Apple cider vinegar is acidic, so it lowers the pH in the stomach, helping you digest your food more easily. A lot of people may think that acidic foods are bad, but like I said, a lot of problems are actually caused by a low pH in the stomach, so you have to rely on other things that are a bit more natural like this to help boost lower the pH in the stomach. Apple cider vinegar can also help you correct the overgrowth of candida, which is the yeast that I had mentioned before. If you experience heartburn after meals, raw apple cider vinegar works as a quick solution because the low pH signals the lower esophageal sphincter to close tightly, stopping the back fluid of the stomach acids into the esophagus. To be effective, apple cider vinegar must be raw with the mother intact, mother I say in quotes, because the mother is a ball of living enzymes and nutrients that are responsible for many of the vinegar's health benefits. So if you don't see any, like, it's actually good if your vinegar has a little bit of the little, like, you'll know what I mean. Like, there's, like, floating web-like structures that make it a little bit cloudy. That'll be in the vinegar, and that means that you have the right stuff. So just mix 1 teaspoon of the raw apple cider vinegar and 4 ounces of water, and just drink the mixture upon waking up. And repeat this process before each meal and after each meal if you experience heartburn. And then you can just slowly wean yourself off, because chances are your body may have corrected itself by that time. Okay, time to focus on the dietary changes that actually contribute to rebalancing your stomach acid levels. Taking supplements to help correct stomach acid production is a good start, but to maximize the effectiveness of these supplements, you need to change your diet and dietary habits too. One of the most important things you can do is to mentally prepare your body for digestion before each meal. This may seem really silly, but when you're stressed, your body may produce too much or too little stomach acid. Eat your meals in a relaxed state. Sit down for your meals. Keep away from distractions like your cell phone and television, and chew slowly and carefully, and savor each bite. When I talked about last week, when I talked about what you're doing when you're eating, this is something that you need to start with. You need to be more present with your meals, because your body needs to know that you're eating. And if you're watching TV, you know, like there's that joke from Step Brothers where one of the characters is all sweaty and he's like, "Oh, I was watching Cops." It's true though. Things that are visually appealing to us actually affect our body's chemistry. So if you're not focused on your meal when you're eating it, then your body's going to be thinking you're doing something else. Also, when you're in the process of working to correct your stomach acid levels, avoid grain products like cereals and bread, which contain a compound called phytic acid. Phytic acid not only inhibits the action of the enzymes that are necessary for proper digestion, but it's also quick to bind with other minerals like calcium, magnesium, iron, and zinc, making them unavailable for absorption in your body. It's best to eliminate grains from the diet at least until your stomach acid levels return to normal. But if you don't want to do that, soak grains in a mixture of 1 teaspoon of lemon juice or apple cider vinegar per 1 cup of warm water overnight before eating them. And if you don't want to do that, then the grains probably aren't that important for you to be eating them. During my 30-day program, we don't eat, like, even if you we're gluten-free, but even if they make gluten-free bread, it's still best not to eat it because it still releases the phytic acid. Another way to reduce stomach acid production is by removing spicy foods, salty foods, and acidic foods like citrus fruits from your diet. These foods do contribute to excess stomach acid. However, I do want to say lemon is one of the exceptions, and it actually... Sorry, my boyfriend's starting up his Corvette. funny, right? But lemon is actually a little bit different. It actually alkalizes when it comes in your body, so lemon is totally safe if you're trying to alkalize your body. So there is one thing that I really want to touch on that is incredibly important with your stomach acid production, and that is water. There's no doubt about it, water is important, but it is possible to be too hydrated, especially during mealtimes. If your stomach acid production is low, the last thing you want to do is dilute the stomach acid you do have even further by drinking water with your meals. Drink water at least 30 minutes before meals or 30 to 60 minutes after meals. It takes about 20 minutes after you start eating for the brain to register if you're full. So if you drink a lot of water before it, it actually will activate your digestive system and get that mechanism going so that when you are eating, you do have a better chance of knowing when you're actually full while you're eating. And if you feel as though as you must have something to quench your thirst during a meal, though, turn to warm homemade bone broth, or if you're like me, you also enjoy vegetable broth because it's full of things in it that will stimulate your digestion. Another option is to drink a small amount of raw homemade yogurt during your meals. I'm vegan, so I really don't do that, but if you're not, the homemade yogurt contains a lot of enzymes, and it also provides probiotics that can help balance the bacteria in your gut. Fortunately, the days have changed, and there are a lot of vegan yogurts out there that do the exact same thing, so if you're sensitive to dairy, there is still hope for you in that aspect. And dairy products are incredibly acidic, so they're something you want to avoid in general, and they cause a lot of inflammation in your body. So as you can see, there are a lot of components that affect your stomach acid, but what's important is just to take the necessary steps with your diet and your just general daily habits to make sure that your stomach acid is in balance so that your whole GI tract can be in proper health. Thanks again, guys. I'll see you next time. Stay tuned for next week because I'm going to be talking about food allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week.